In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. You may be seated. Some of you know that one of our parishioners, Harris Healy, owns a bookstore, Logos Bookstore on York Avenue at 84th Street. Lots of character, lots of charm, very cool selection of books. Everyone should check it out. Well, this past Advent, which is generally the 4 weeks before Christmas, Harris showed me some Advent-themed books and suggested I purchase one or more for my devotional life in this liturgical season. I thought, oh yeah, my devotional life. That could use a little more attention and discipline, which is often the case. So I selected a book called Three Wise Women, 40 Devotions Celebrating Advent with Mary, Elizabeth, and Anna. What drew me to this book is the mention of Anna in the title. Yes, it makes sense to read about Mary, Mother of Jesus, during Advent. Yes, it makes sense to read about Elizabeth, Mary's cousin and mother of John the Baptist. She has a pretty key role in Jesus' birth narrative. But Anna? There's not much to say about Anna. Her story in Scripture is told in only 3 verses, which we hear today. Luke tells us that Anna has been married for 7 years when her husband dies. And after that, she lives as a widow to the age of 84, never leaving the temple, but worshiping there day and night with fasting and prayer. Now, presumably, this rather pious behavior enables Anna to recognize Jesus as the Messiah when his parents bring him to the temple to present him. Pious behavior, admirable behavior, to be sure, but kind of weird, right? Fasting and praying in the temple for 77 years straight. Anna, there's more to life. Take a break, just for a night. Eat, drink, and be merry, you know? And lest I feel badly for thinking Anna is a bit weird, lo and behold, I am justified by the great Rowan Williams, former Archbishop of Canterbury, master theologian. He preached a sermon on the presentation not too long ago, and he said this: Anna is called a prophetess, which might be a polite way of saying she was one of those people who hang around religious shrines and behave rather strangely. Thank you, Archbishop. My sentiments exactly. But then I get into this book that I purchased from Harris. I read it, and my heart is converted, because I learn more about Anna's story, or what might have been Anna's story. The author, Dandy Daly McCall, describes her in this way. As a prophetess, Anna would have stayed in or close to the temple so she could be available for those who needed her. She may have had her lodgings in the women's court or in an adjoining almshouse or apartment. McCall goes on to share an imaginary story of Anna comforting a young widow at the temple. So here we have a picture of Anna as someone with a job. She provides counseling, pastoral counseling to women who come to the temple. She has an apartment on the grounds, so she can readily offer this service. Friends, do you know where I live? In an apartment. On church grounds, just over there. And pastoral care is a big part of my job. I read about Anna in McCall's book, just a few paragraphs, and my opinion of her changed in an instant. Complete 180. Because I saw myself in her. And then I started to identify with her weirdness, her strange behavior, as Rowan Williams puts it. I went from being put off by this behavior to thinking, hey, that's cool, because people think I'm weird too. I stand outside in my vestments on the sidewalk once a week, and some people look at me like I've lost my mind. And you know what? People think you're weird too. We are church-going Christians in New York City. That alone goes against the grain. Several years ago, I was doing some baptismal preparation for parents. When a child is to be baptized, the clergy want to make sure the parents understand what's happening in the sacrament and what the church believes. For example, today we have Charlie being baptized. It's on his first birthday. How amazing is that? And therefore, his parents, Emmy and David, have been through baptismal preparation. So this one time, I'm teaching baptismal prep to another set of parents, and the godparents are there too. I start explaining the mystical nature of the sacrament of baptism and how the Holy Spirit comes down and sanctifies the water and makes it holy water. And I notice one of the godparents looking at me with wide eyes, and he appears bemused. So I stop, and I say, do you think I'm crazy for saying all of this? And he responds, yeah. Plus, you're so enthusiastic about it. And he was right. There's no doubting my enthusiasm. For those of you who want to learn more about the sacrament of baptism, please come to our newcomers class at 12:30 today. Nate is teaching. He will be just as enthusiastic. And maybe you'll think he's crazy too. And that's okay, because Christianity makes some outlandish claims. Christ is risen is one of those claims, is it not? Probably the most outlandish of all. And it's a claim that we embrace. We embrace the love, the mercy, the forgiveness, the compassion that Jesus has for us, and that we are charged to have for other people. So there are two points I want you to walk away with today. First, God asks us to see ourselves in other people, and to see the image of God in other people. Search for it. It's there. And that's what empathy is all about. It's what's required if we are to treat one another as sisters and brothers, as part of the human family. Second, boldly take your place in this family, your Christian family. Accept the weird looks, the occasional ridicule, and most importantly, the humility it will bring. For we are not in this for ourselves. We are in it for a power much greater than us. We are in this family, and we are here today to serve the living God. To say, teach me, Lord. Show me. Sustain me. Send me. And through that service, through the communities we build, through the love we share, and the good works we do in Christ's name, we find ourselves. And we find the heart of God. And we find ourselves to be in the heart of God. So, Emmy and David, is this what you want for your child as part of the body of Christ? Yeah. An incarnation. Is this what we want for Charlie? Yes. Then let me hear a big amen. 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 I now invite Charlie and his parents and godparents to please come forward.